It's time for the Ron and Brian podcast. Get ready to fill your ears with the latest news, politics, current events, and whatever else we feel like talking about this week. And now, your hosts, Ron and Brian.
All right. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to this very special Monday night edition of the Ron and Brian podcast. I am Ron over there on the other side of the screen. My partner, taking L's, Brian, if here for episode 302, Brian clearly forgetting to update his screen name since last week's After Dark. Can you beat Brian? The answer to that was a resounding yes, as all contestants beat Brian in last week's After Dark trivia contest. Brian, you look crushed. You look defeated. Last Sunday night, After Dark was over. How have you recovered? You needed an extra day of rest. That's why we're doing this on Monday night. How are you feeling right now?
Listen, I'm doing great right now. You know, had you asked me a week ago, I would have been disappointed. I would have been down. I feel like I let down America. You know, it was a can you beat Brian during our After Dark pajama party. You put together a heck of a game, I have to say.
Thank you.
People who are not taking part in our Patreon, missing out on some really quality entertainment. We do a game once a month. Can you beat Ron? Can you beat Brian? We alternate. We invite the Patreon subscribers on. They, you know, if they can beat us, we make a charitable donation in their name. It's fun. It's real fun, except when you lose. And I lost last month. In fact, I would go so far as to say that I was humbled. Did you bring that water bottle again?
My insulated mug. Brian, hydration is so important. It's almost as important as the work. And the work, Brian, the work is so very important. But hydration, also key.
But that's why we have our Ron and Brian coffee mugs that I put my water in.
It does. I need more, Brian. I've been traveling. I've been drinking. I need water. It's just how I am. We don't judge people on this show, Brian, and I've been feeling very judged since last week about my beverage holder of choice.
You said that you've been traveling. Do you want to talk about it now? Do you want to wait till you know, after we do drink of the week, beef of the week?
We can wait a little bit because I really want to get to drink of the week.
Drink of the week.
Salud.
Drink of the week.
Sláinte.
Who's?
Drink of the week. Drink of the week. Drink of the week. Drink of the week.
Brian, what are you drinking this week, sir?
All the way from wherever Victory Brewing is from. I know we discussed it last week. I already forgot it. This week, ladies and gentlemen, we've got Golden Monkey. Last week was Sour Monkey, I think. I'm not sure. This week, Golden Monkey. This is their Belgium-style triple ale with added spice, coming in at 9.5% ABV. Ooh. I've got two more of these bad boys to drink tonight, so it's going to get lit. The nose is loaded with Belgium yeast character of banana and clove, with an equally fruity body balanced with a light earthy hop character. I mean, all the makings of a great beer. Savor the notes of orange and spice, followed by a dry finish. Beer Advocate gives it a score of 84. I'm going to take my first sip.
All right. I mean, I've had this one before. It's one of my favorite Victory beers. It does pack quite a punch, but it is delicious. Going in for a second sip already, that's always a good
about this.
Brian, tell me what you're feeling right now.
Listen, I'm feeling mystical flavors that are meant to enlighten me. This is just a refreshing beer. It's not crushable. I'm not going to say it. 9.5%. This is not crushable. I will be feeling the effects of this after the regular show, going into our After Dark. I may get a little sloppy, but this is a damn fine beer. Being being taken in from one of my fine Ron and Brian pint glasses. Thank you, Ron.
Sure, anytime.
Ron, what are you drinking this week?
So this week, as we'll talk about shortly, I was away for a long weekend up in the Finger Lakes region of upstate New York. Stopped at a little place called Finger Lakes Distillery, and they had something interesting. It's called Vintner's Vodka. This is distilled from New York State grapes. It's made using a unique process that combines the ancient practices of the winemaker with the age-old methods of the master distiller. In our custom-built copper still, we distill our signature brand of local grapes, including those that are hand-harvested from our own vineyard. The finished product is a vodka that is deeply rooted in the land and the people from which it came. Each sip of Vintner's Vodka should be smooth, yet unabashedly full of character. 80 proof, Brian, 40% alcohol, as we like to say in the business. So I am doing it two ways to test out the flavor. First, as a standalone shot, of course, in my Ron and Brian podcast, shot glass, salute.
As he slams it down, ooh, didn't grimace. Ooh, walk us through it.
It is very smooth, got a little hint of sweetness. Mm. Not as much as you would anticipate with this being made from grapes versus your typical corn, potato, beets, parsnips, wheat, chaff, you know, that kind of stuff. And then
now you mentioned before the show started that the man at the distillery said that one out of every 500 bottles tastes like jizz. Did you get one of those bottles, or does yours actually taste like regular vodka?
Tastes like regular vodka. I even mixed up a little vodka tonic to see how that is.
He takes a sip.
Oh, the tonic really brings out the sweetness in this. Would not use this for a savory or spicy drink like a Bloody Mary or something like that. Mm-hmm. Or to pair it with, like, oh, this would be great with a vodka cranberry. I might have to make one of those for after dark.
Can we see the bottle?
You can, of course, see.
Can I see the bottle again?
There is the bottle, the Vintner's Vodka. Not only that, my Finger Lakes Distilling trucker cap, because I went up to the register. Nicest people in the world when they heard I was Ron from the Ron and Brian podcast. I went to pay for the bottle. They said, your money's no good here. And then I grabbed the hat. I'm like, how about now? They're like, your money's still not good here. I said, thank you so much. Can I have something to bring back for Brian? They were like, oh, no, his money's perfectly fine here. He can come pay for whatever he wants.
51% comes with its privilege. What's missing back there, buddy? You put that back up there. You were not 49%. You were the fucking champion. You act like the fucking champion.
There we go.
Show that belt off.
All right. So this is delicious. I am extremely pleased that I brought this bottle home. Only $30. So very reasonable for a small batch of vodka, personally, I feel.
That's pretty reasonable.
Let's keep it going, Brian. Let's go. I think it's time for Beef of the Week.
Ron and Brian's Beef of the Week.
Brian, what's bothering you this week?
People and their obnoxiously large hydration systems. I had a friend recently who, have you ever had that moment where you know someone, you trust their opinion? Sometimes you'll watch anything on Netflix that they recommend, and you just feel like here's a person who just, like, you know, has their shit all together. And then suddenly they make a decision, they purchase a product that is just so obnoxiously arrogant, pretentious. Insert whatever word you want to use, douchey, where they just sit there and they're like, oh, you know, like everybody else is doing it, so I'm going to do it. You know, one of the things that has been very popular amongst high school girls, high school boys, and it's kind of drifted into the podcasting world, I've tried to put, you know, a stop to it in my life, are these obnoxiously large water bottles. So, you know, it's very common. I'm on the train now where you see some, you know, somebody with their 32-ounce, triple insulated Stanley water bottle. It's just, you don't have to show off. You can just get a 16-ounce mug and you can sit there and drink your water.
I'm just kind of curious. You mentioned about the train. I would think you're more focused on watching the ticket takers because you don't have a ticket, that you wouldn't be able to pay attention to those people with obnoxiously large water containers.
Once I get off the light rail, it's fair game. I've already stolen that fare. Then once I do pay, when I get on the PATH train, I pay my $2.75 to take me from Jersey into Manhattan. I have no problem with that fare. It's the light rail going down. Fucking with the water bottle driving me nuts. So it's my beef of the week this week is people and their obnoxiously large water bottles.
Okay, that's fair. I mean, I feel like it's a very, specific beef. I feel it is somewhat passive aggressive, but listen, it's your beef and it's your beef to hold close to your heart.
It's disgusting. Bron, what's bothering you?
Yes. So my problem, Brian, is people asking for charity in a awkward situation. So I'm going to tell you what happened while we were away this weekend. Great vacation, long weekend arranged for by Marty Jardy. Spent a couple days exploring. Now that is a water bottle, my friend. We spent a couple of days exploring the wineries, the breweries, the distilleries. So day two, we were going to our second to last stop. It was this place called Two Goats Brewing right on the lake. We're like, let's just stop in, check it out. And so we get up to the door. At first, there's someone sitting there, assuming they're checking IDs, just assuming that. And then she starts to talk about, oh, we're having a fundraiser today. Okay, that's great. Habitat for Humanity. We're trying to build a house for somebody here in need. What would you think if you're in going to a bar? What would be, and it's like afternoon, it's not even evening time. What would be a reasonable donation for them to ask, do you think?
I'm going to say $5 or $10.
I'm thinking, like, as she's telling, I'm thinking to myself, because they've got other stuff going on. They've got a raffle going on. They've got, you know, they're donating portion of their food sales. She's like, well, we're asking for a donation of $20.
No.
And now you feel like you're in kind of a pinch because you've committed to listening to the whole story.
Yeah.
And now, you know, we don't have cash on us. Well, that's fine. We can have them put it on your tab. Oh, great. You've made it that much easier for me to look like an asshole if I say.
Yeah. So the question is, how much did you donate?
Just 20.
Okay. Was that for the whole group?
That was just for my wife and myself. Marty felt no problem saying, no, thank you. Yeah. I need that. I need that kind of confidence in my life, Brian.
Listen, if there's anybody who has confidence, it's Marty Jardy. She is the moderator, as William reminds us all of. But that woman oozes confidence. She oozes
She did wear the moderator T-shirt on day one of the trip.
Very nice. Very nice.
Yeah. Should we talk about the trip, Brian? While you have some water, I want to make sure you as well are perfectly hydrated. But you sounded curious about this long weekend trip.
No. I would love for you to tell me about your weekend trip.
So, are we having dueling water bottles now?
What are you talking about? Oh, my water bottle. Oh, you noticed my new water bottle? This is lovely. This is 128 ounces of of pure water hydration. This is, and because I love America. This is right. America. So as you can see, just for reflection size, this is how it racks up next to my head.
Bigger than your head.
I'm going to be hydrated this week. Hydration is so important. It is so important. It's just as much as it's so important, just like the work. Doing the work is so important.
So is drinking water.
Yes. So anyway, it took a long weekend. We drove up to Watkins Glen, New York. It's about a 4.5-hour drive from here in Pennsylvania. Marty Jardy arranged for an Airbnb up there for us. Great house right on the lake, very close to downtown. Parking, had a hot tub on the deck, grill, ooh, kitchen, the whole nine yards. So it was a great setup. As you know, Brian, Watkins Glen, very much with nature. You've heard of Watkins Glen, right?
I've heard of Watkins Glen. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I mean, I know where it is. I know that it's a beautiful part. The only reference point I have for Watkins Glen is the famed Gorge Trail at Watkins Glen State Park. I mean, I'm assuming you guys did that. I wasn't going to ask you right off the bat how the trail was, but I mean, it's all of New York knows about the Gorge Trail at Watkins Glen State Park. So I knew you guys must have traveled it at some point.
We unfortunately weren't able to walk the Gorge Trail. It was closed. It wasn't reopened for the season just yet. So we walked the Rim Trails for a while. A lot more incline, up a big flight of stairs to start, but could not do the Gorge Trail.
Now, you handled the Rim.
Went right around the Rim, up one.
Did you
side
find
of the
it?
Rim.
Were there a lot of ridges? Were there a lot of ridges at the?
Bumpy, rocky at times, so very satisfying at the end.
Did it smell okay?
Yeah, well, you know, it smelled like nature, Brian.
Interesting. Very good.
But it was a good workout. Went and walked for a couple hours. We visited a bunch of wineries. Apparently there's between like 70 and 80 wineries around Seneca Lake up there.
It's funny. Speaking of that, I mean, listen, it is, when it comes to New York State, that is the state, that is where you go for New York wine country. My lady and I have been talking about going upstate to that area to visit some of the wineries. We would love, we were really looking forward to an opportunity to go up there.
But I understand that you're more in season folks. Like we're okay going a little bit out of season. But I know you like to be in the heart of things. You like to be in the thick of things.
All I know is that when Ron and Mrs. Ron and the Jardies are involved, it's always in season. I don't need grapes to be at their properest. That foursome, I always appreciate being included, but that's okay. I mean, I understand, you wanted a jacuzzi time, just the you and those other three. And I get it. My lady and I were not invited. You don't really want to socialize with us. Okay. I can take it in.
Hey, listen, you're a month away. We've got two weekends planned together in June. We've got the Alex's Lemonade Stand Foundation coming up, as well as Marty celebrating her 40th birthday, which should be a hell of an event.
Now, is it true that she has rented a K-pop act to perform at her birthday party?
I have not heard that, but maybe BTS. I mean, I'm not 100% sure. What is K-pop? You got me there.
Korean pop. It's the pop music coming out of Korea.
Gotcha. Understood.
It's what I have flooded your algorithm with.
Ah, that's right. Yes. I got a more important question for you, Brian. What are you watching?
Listen, I watched a lot of television this weekend. Friday night, stayed in, took the lady out for dinner, then we stayed in, watched some TV. Saturday, watched more TV in the evening, and Sunday was such a crappy day. I don't know what it was like upstate, but Sunday was such a crap fest here. It was rainy. It was cold. A perfect day to sit and watch TV. I watched a bunch of stuff. Let's start off. Hold on. Let me pull up my list because I do keep track of this. I watched Unfrosted, the Jerry Seinfeld Netflix movie on the creation of the Pop-Tart. I don't know what the man's obsession with breakfast foods are, but this was in long. I mean, Jesus. I enjoyed it. I'm not going to say that it should be, award winning or anything. No. However, you know, when I watched it, I literally watched it Saturday morning while drinking my coffee. It was the perfect for it. It wasn't laugh out loud. It wasn't clever, 100%, genius, like a Curb, but right. It was pleasant. It was a pleasant show. It told a story. It had some laughs.
It was silly at times. It was over the top at times. And if nothing else, watch it for all of the cameos.
Sure. Oh no, it literally is a cameo fest. Like he got everybody that, you could think of. I mean, the number of times my lady and I were like, oh, that guy, they got her in it. Like it was, I also kind of felt like there was a reason I thought we were going to show up in it at one point.
for a moment there.
But it's all about the rise of the Pop-Tart. I enjoyed it. I would recommend it to someone. But keep your expectations low. It's not going to win any awards whatsoever. I also watched A Man in Full, the Jeff Daniels limited series. Jeff Daniel plays a guy by the name of Croker, who is a former Georgia Tech, I believe, college football star who goes into Atlanta real estate, kind of becomes like a Donald Trump character, not political, but he becomes a real estate tycoon who's really just built on debt. First episode is basically starts off with him sitting across the table from his bank and having them tell him that he owes $800 million in debt to the bank. And they are going to start foreclosing on his assets. That's it. Okay. They're going to start. So the next five episodes are all about, his attempts to stave off public embarrassment. Interesting story. I was entertained by it. I don't think he's properly cast in that role. Really? There is a better dramatic actor out there that would carry this and I think elevate the story. I don't think he's got the acting boots for this. And then last but not least, I watched the roast of Tom Brady last night on Netflix. It started at 8:00. I missed some of the beginning. Watched it all the way through. I think it was over about 10:45.
It was long, way long.
It was very long. I know they're going to edit it down and they're going to show a condensed version of it, probably something limited to 2 hours or whatnot. Keep in mind, people, the roast that we watched, a dozen years ago, these things were like 1 hour. Then they became 90 minutes and they were 2 hours. But, you hit a point after, 2.5 hours where, nobody's making a new joke. I mean, at this point, how many jokes can you make about Kevin Hart's height? It just was, I probably watched about 2 hours of it. Did you catch any of it?
I watched it again, turned it on after it started, watched it from the beginning, moved it back, watched it from the beginning. I tapped out when Will Ferrell came on as Ron Burgundy. I was like, I think that was like an hour 45 into it.
Yeah.
So again, kept going. They kept having to mention over and over. Everyone had to come. This is live, folks. You don't know what's going to happen. This is live.
Sure.
It makes you appreciate the job of editing a TV show.
Yeah.
Because there was so much, to your point, there was so much repetition of things. There were jokes that I think didn't necessarily hit that'll probably be cut out afterwards. Just crowd work, like why were Kevin Hart and Jeff Ross doing crowd work at times during a roast? Like,
I assumed that was A, to show off people that were in the audience, the Dana Whites, the Kim Kardashians, the Matt Beakers. But at the same time, I also thought that was to give them opportunity to change stuff on the stage, change the seating, get people to get up, walk off, give them an opportunity to go to the bathroom or whatnot. But that's why, the only reason, I studied under David Copperfield, and I understand when you do a misdirection, when you have somebody come in from the stage into the audience, something's happening on the stage at that moment. That's the way Dave taught me.
Sure. Some great sets. I thought Nikki Glaser killed it as always. Jeff Ross had some good material. Kevin Hart, I think they overused. He was like the first 15 minutes of the episode.
Are you saying that because he's black?
No, I'm just saying it wasn't. And what was weird is they kept referring to Jeff Ross as the roast master, but Kevin Hart clearly was hosting it. So I was very confused as to why they had both roles.
Well, that was the problem, was the fact that they called Jeff Ross the Roastmaster. That is his nickname. He has brought, you know, he really kind of brought that old school roast style to the modern age. You know, you got to give him credit for it. I understand that you want to have somebody else be like the host of it, but I didn't see the need why Jeff Ross had his own microphone that was live and he could just pick it up at any point and just start talking into it. Yeah. You either are the host or you're not the host. Pick whichever one you want.
But I would say, you know, the topics that were touched on the most, Gisele Bündchen getting fucked by her karate instructor a lot.
Yep.
Aaron Hernandez came up and some very great jokes. I mean, Nikki Glaser had a great joke about Aaron Hernandez. Even Kim Kardashian talking about how her family had done enough for NFL players, which, yeah, you know, well,
I will say this. Nikki Glaser, this is probably, if I'm not correct, like the fourth roast that she's been on. She has, one of her specialties is the snipe. She has that, you know, eight word joke that really just demolishes someone. One of my complaints about this roast in particular was how heavy it was on athletes and how light it was on comedians, which is ironic.
Not a solid taste.
No, because the previous roast that I remember was James, not Cameron. What's the kid's name? The one that got canceled with Seth Rogen.
James Franco.
The roast of James Franco, that was nothing but comedy writers, and none of it hit. None of it landed. It wasn't funny. Everybody was just trying to make the same bad joke. So I feel like here, because it was Tom Brady, they really brought back, you know, some of the best of the players that he played with on the New England Patriots. But they have no comedic timing. Watching Bill Belichick get up there and try to read jokes was painful.
Yes.
His darty eyes as he's looking across, I don't know what he was expecting to have happen. But he just could not, you know, he had no comedic timing in terms of laying a joke. Asking Robert Kraft. Watching Robert Kraft go like this with his shot glass. You know, they were like, oh, everyone's going to do a shot. They pour him. They make this man hold a tequila shot while his hands are like this. He's like, I love you. It's spilling all over the fucking place. It was just.
Speaking of Bob Kraft, what did you think of Tom Brady going up and admonishing Jeff Ross after Jeff had made a Bob Kraft massage parlor joke?
Listen, you know, these things are very well tailored. My gut tells me is the fact that there was a list of subjects not to be joked about. And right. That was probably on it. I mean, I give Tom Brady a lot of credit. There were, the fact that he took so many hits on being gay, allegedly. He took, you know, just the leaving Bridget Moynihan when she was pregnant, so he could start going after Gisele. The fact that, he couldn't, all of his marriages failed. Like, I thought that Drew Bledsoe's things was like, you know, the two things you're never going to get, Tom. You're never going to know what it feels like to be a number one draft pick, and you're never going to know what it's like to have a 20th anniversary because right. I just got right. mine yesterday. That was such a great line. Like, obviously, that was written by a comedy writer. I know that they have there's a writer's room in LA that has been super busy for the past month writing jokes on this. But it was, he allowed so many topics, you know, his abnormal eating habits, his, you know, whatnot. I thought it was odd that that's where he drew the line, which led me to believe that there were topics that people were told not to talk about. And I imagine, you know, Robert Kraft going to the massage parlors twice in one day. Allegedly. You know, that was probably on the list.
It was up there. Yeah. I watched that as well. Felt the same way. Did you check out any of the Cat Williams live special that was broadcast Saturday night?
Listen, you know I love Cat Williams, right? How many minutes do you think the missus and I watched Cat Williams before we turned it off?
Let's see here. Well, let's see who made it longer, because we attempted to watch it up at the lake house. So let's see who may have made it longer. I'm going to say we probably
should. Hold on a second. Why don't we write it down? Why don't we write it down? Do you have pen and paper there?
I do.
I've got a pen. I'm going to find a piece of paper. I'm going to write it down.
For those people that are listening and not watching the video, this must be enthralling for them as we write things down.
I found paper. I got paper. Hold on. Everything's covered in plastic.
I've already written mine down. This is actually, this bit has gone on longer than I think I watched the Cat Williams.
Okay, I'll show you. All right.
All right.
Here we go.
12 minutes, I think we made it.
I made it 15. I know we made it 15. It was, let me ask you a question. Did you actually hear a joke?
No. And that was the problem.
There was no joke.
Is he would make statements and then he would just yell a lot at people and get the crowd fired up. I like the, like, it sounded like if you just listen to the crowd, it sounded like he was doing, like, it was
Richard Pryor
type material. It was Eddie Murphy delirious type material. Like, to your point, I couldn't repeat a joke that he said that entire time.
Oh no. The only joke I heard him tell within those 15 minutes was that, you know how that there is, God, that God exists because no matter what culture exists on this earth, everybody agrees that pussy is the best thing on this earth. Whether you're black, white, Hispanic, you're Asian, pussy's the best thing on the earth. And that was his joke. And everybody in the audience, they didn't show it, but everyone's like, whoo, laughing their asses off. No, Cat Williams did not do the work.
Well, let me. I Ron, watched two Ron, movies, Ron, right? Yes.
Ron, no.
The work is so important, Cat. Cat, go do the work.
So he starts off by, you know, it was what I found so amazing. And it's similar to what Chris Rock's style, which is that he paces the stage, repeating himself without actually saying anything. Like, he's just like, oh, I've been studying the Illuminati and I learn their tricks. And then I come tell you people what they're doing. And that's what that's what I do. And, you know, but I'm too fat. We're at the 7 minute mark and he hasn't. So he hasn't told a joke. He hasn't said anything. Then he starts talking about how, the skin inside of a vagina is similar to the skin inside of your mouth. Okay. No offense, but this is a scientific fact that we learned like 30, 40 years ago. Like, nobody in that audience should be learning that as a new, it was just, when we turned it off, we literally could not find it funny.
Agreed. Well, two movies I can recommend to you. One we watched on the trip. One we watched earlier in the week. Watched Immaculate with Sydney Sweeney. So that's a horror movie where she is a nun that goes to a convent over in Spain or Italy. And everything, Brian, is not quite as it seems. I won't ruin the story for you. But it was good. It was an enjoyable, scary film. Nothing too gross, but interesting. I would recommend that. And also,
I have a question: is that the movie? Yes. Hold on, Immaculate. Is that the movie that she takes her top off in?
That is not that one. I apologize.
Oh, because I remember you saying to me that that's what you thought that was the one you were going to watch.
That was that. Unfortunately, not that one. And then also Late Night with the Devil. So it is it's basically the story behind it. It's about a late night talk show in the 70s who was going up against Carson, does a special Halloween night episode where he's bringing a girl on that is allegedly possessed by the devil. And it is like almost like found footage style. It is, you know, you get to see the episode behind the scenes. and it's shot in a 70s type film. Very interesting.
This may sound naive. Based on a true story, or is that just like a is that just a horror movie they wrote?
Because that's just a horror movie they wrote.
No shit, because the trailer makes it look like it's a real, like a true story.
And they do it very well. So Janelle, she and Evie watched it and were disappointed. I would say based on some of the previews, or not previews, but some of the reviews I saw on TikTok, where everybody was like, oh, this is one of the best horror movies of the year. Not one of the best horror movies of the year, but it's just fun. It's 90 minutes. It goes quick. Again, kind of like Unfrosted. Don't go into it expecting a whole lot. But if you just want to have like a fun, scary time, check it out. I think that's all I watched. That's all you watched, Brian?
I finished a bunch of shows. But I think that was the week before. I finished Manhunt. Abraham Lincoln, John Wilkes Booth show on Apple TV. I would highly recommend that to anybody who enjoys a little historical story. Almost done with Palm Royale with Kristen Wiig.
How is that? I've seen previews of that, and I'm on the fence as to whether I actually want to watch it or not.
Give it a shot. You know, it's one of those where it's a handful of episodes. It's light fare. It's the kind of thing you can have on in the background. It's really, honestly, Ron, it's about lifting and supporting women. It is a predominant female cast. Ricky Martin is, the most masculine, person in the, in the ensemble cast. Kristen Wiig, Carol Burnett.
Based on the sound of the Cindy background, Crawford's Brian, kid. You have reopened the diner in your palatial estate.
I have no idea what she's doing back there, but I didn't know you could hear that. What does it sound like? It sounds like dishes being
just dishes. Like it's the prime rib special has gone out. It's being cleaned up. It's fine. I love it. I love the noise. I love the background noise.
What are you doing over there? Rob just said it sounds like the prime rib special has just been served across the dining room. Oh, I get yelled at because I just got yelled at because I don't put dishes in properly in the dishwasher. Oh, I'm going to get yelled at, Ron.
Listen, there is a way, and I'm glad she brings this up because this is a constant war I have with my significant other. There is a specific way you can put dishes in a dishwasher that, number one, maximizes the efficiency of your dishwasher. Number two, sure, makes it that much easier to empty if everything is organized.
Well, I believe that, plates go here, bowls go there. Glasses go there, that whatnot. I don't know what I did wrong. I also considering that I'm usually the person who does the dishes, so I'm not sure that she is, telling me which the right way the dishes go in the dishwasher. Sounds like I'm getting yelled at.
All right.
What else did you watch, Ron?
That's it. That's all I got so far.
What else did you watch?
That's it. Is someone looking at you? Are you getting eyeballed right now?
The door's still open.
Oh, and it happened. Janelle said she expected Brian to get hit with a pillow again. Sure enough, it just happened. Brian needs to do the work with the dishes. Brian, let's get to our stories of the week. As we have often mentioned, it's stories that we want to make sure we get to. We don't let fall through the cracks. Brian, you have a very interesting story that's been getting a lot of traction this week. Tell me what you're bringing to the table.
Okay, so this week, the story that really captured my imagination this week was North Dakota governor, governor. She's Republican. Kristi Noem. Noem, however you want to pronounce it. A lot of people were saying that she has got some heat on her, some attention on her. She has potential to be the vice president candidate on the Republican ticket this coming presidential election. She think, you know, there's talk that Donald Trump is taking a shine to her. She did what most politicians do in an election year, which is that they put out a book. Because somehow, if you're a Republican and you're running for national office, how do I say this politely? You believe that the voting public are going to read a book. Have you seen some of those MAGA rallies? None of those fucking people are reading books. Anyway, but she's putting out a book. I think it's coming out this week. I've not done the work, so I don't know. Oh, the name of her book, it should be out this week, is called No Going Back. Hold on, we'll do that again. No Going Back by Kristi Noem. This is her writing her life story, letting the Republican populace know that she is the woman that she should be, that we should all be looking to. So right off the bat, the people start reading the book. Reviewing copies start, being sent out. People start reading. And this little thing called fact checkers who just get in the way of everything that is good in this world. People who are going to sit there and say, listen, if you're going to say something, we're going to make sure that that's true. So they start going through the book. Right off the bat, one anecdote jumps off the page. That's where she had a puppy who was having some behavioral issues. So she did what, you know, most normal red-blooded Americans do when they get a puppy.
Sure.
She took the puppy out back and shot it to death because, that's not the way a puppy behaves in her home. Okay. Then that even got the Republicans sitting there saying, oh, she took a hard hit on that one. Nobody is excited. Did you just knock out that whole vodka tonic?
Oh, yeah.
Are you going to have another one, Ron? I think I might have to mix up another one for after dark. Because the work is so important.
So right off the bat, you've got people being like, yeah, I can't get behind somebody who's shooting their puppy. That is not the visual. And she's being like, listen, this where we come from in South Dakota, that's just, you take a stand and you stand up for what's right. And you just got to take care of business, even if it's dirty. But the fact checkers had a little problem with something else, which was she wrote a there is a section in the book where she talks about meeting Kim Jong-un, dictator of North Dakota. She tells the story about what?
North Korea, not North Dakota.
Close enough. She talks about how she in the book, how she met Kim Jong-un. And I'm going to read the section of the book. This is in her book. Through my tenure on the House Armed Services Committee, I had the chance to travel to many countries to meet with world leaders. I remember when I met with North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un. I'm sure he underestimated me, having no clue about my experience staring down little tyrants, parentheses. I'd been a child's pastor after all. Now, right off the bat, people are like, what the fuck, batshit? there's no way that a junior member of a House committee is meeting with the dictator of North Korea, let alone just being in the same room with him. Immediately going through any interactions that Kim Jong-un had with American politicians, and they could not find one example where she had been included in it. She was doing the Sunday talk shows to promote her book. Really an opportunity for her to walk back some of the stories, given the opportunity by, I believe it was CBS The Nation on Sunday morning. Instead of acknowledging, oh yeah, that part was made up, that was my ghostwriter just kind of went too far, she just immediately ignored addressing the issue and started talking about how, important it is that a strong Republican leader, be seen across the table from world leaders. Like, the world we live in now, and it's been so accepted, is that the open-faced lie by politicians and the unabashed refusal to pay any price when caught in that lie. That is my story of the week. It's so fucking sad. Donald Trump set the template for this one. She is just riding it and seeing if she can stretch it even further. Not even acknowledging, that shouldn't be in there. That's a mistake.
Yeah, that didn't actually happen.
Yeah, fuck her.
Well, I also have a sad story. Sad in a different way, Brian. A 2-year-old boy died in Arizona when a bounce house he was playing in was swept up by a gust of wind and crashed in a neighboring lot next to his parents' home in Arizona. This is a shot of the family here. The 2-year-old named Bodie was inside. Yes.
Now, I was going to take a guess what his name was. I was going to be wrong.
Were you going to guess Bodie? Because I certainly was.
No. I wasn't going to go Bodie. It was going to be like one of those names where it's like ends in like D-Y-N or...
I definitely thought it was going to be like, it was going to be truck related. Like if you're not watching the video, like this is a very white family. And so I was expecting an LYN, you know, like a trail in or something like that. Anyway,
you have video is there video of the bouncy house?
There is no video, unfortunately, but the giant inflatable went airborne around 5 p.m. with several children inside of it. Bodie was rushed to a local hospital and later pronounced dead from his injuries, while a second child sustained non-life-threatening injuries. My question is this is not the first bounce house to go airborne and like injure or kill children. Like, at what point do parents say maybe the bounce house isn't the best thing to get for my kid's birthday party?
I think here's a good rule of thumb.
If your child is small enough to be carried away by a hawk, maybe you don't have like a bounce house in your backyard. They need a little more heft to them.
Can I just throw another idea out here for you?
Of course you can. Of course.
Okay. All right. You're a Disney couple. You're Disney. You and your wife are just
well,
Disney
fanatics. This photo, they're at Disney. I don't know if they're a Disney couple, but they're at Disney in this particular photo.
Doesn't make a difference. The 9.5 alcohol is kicking in, people. If you are not on our Patreon, you are going to miss an After Dark. Ron's drinking vodka. I'm drinking 9.5 ABV beer. It's going to go lit. So you have a kid. Why? Because it's what you do. Let's be brutally honest. They're painfully white. He drives a Ford F-150. She stays at home and she is a TikTok influencer where she makes dinner for her family in her crock pot. Every dish involves a brick of cream cheese. We know this. This is what she does. This is all of her meals are like, when I come home and it is time to feed my family, next thing you know, it's like every dish has got like a brick of Velveeta cheese and a brick of cream cheese, and she just mixes it together. It's like, oh. Anyway, so, you know, you're having your raw dog, unprotected sex. He's going in there just pound town, giving her the best 45 seconds, missionary type sex. Picture of Jesus up on the wall above the mantle in the bedroom, and they're fornicating. They're married, so it's okay. But he doesn't believe that there should be anything between him and his woman, so there's no protection. He's blasting away indoors. That's what he does.
How is this still related to the bounce house?
Oh, I'll get there. So he's just blasting away in there, just dropping load after load after load in her. I mean, she doesn't even have time to get up and walk to the bathroom without his sloppy mess sliding down her thighs. It's just, I mean, they're in a double wide. Let's be honest. You know, his parents both died. He got some insurance money. They have a double wide. So can we put the picture back up? Come on. So next thing you know, they find themselves pregnant. This is not what they wanted. He wants to be at the, you know, he wants to be out with his buddies, driving around in his truck with his dog and his shotgun, shooting at their vermin. She wants to be at the church Sunday spectaculars, you know, with the other wives, just talk. They don't want to be saddled down. She wants to do that country line dancing, you know, down at the corner on Saturday nights. Anyway, they don't want to have a kid. So you can't kill your kid anymore, Ron. This isn't the 60s anymore. 60s, you could take the kid. You could go out back, hunting accident. Cops would cover it up. This, you know, also it's not the 80s anymore. You can't leave your kid in the backseat of your car during the summer with the windows rolled up for an hour and a half while you go get your hair did. Can't do it anymore. So how is it that you're in the South? How do you kill your kid in a way that doesn't end up in jail? The bouncy house. It's tornado season right now. Everybody knows out of nowhere there could be wind gusts. What do these couple do? They rent a bouncy house. The very fact that there hasn't been a comment in about 8 minutes just leads me to believe everybody's fucking horrified right now. But you rent the bouncy house. You put your kid in there. You're just like, go back there, Cronamian, and it's going to be fun. The kid's jumping up and down.
Time's got to stop.
So we're gonna put a pin in that, and maybe you can continue that diatribe on After Dark. But thank you for that, Brian. Thank you for, I'm not quite sure what you taught us, but you taught us something.
I think they have the perfect murder. That's what I'm coming up. Think about it. They put their kid in a bouncy house. What state are they from?
Arizona.
All right. Well, then I would have taken that. I would have taken that kid hunting and had him get shot by a cartel member. But anyway, I was wrong.
Next up, Brian, a quick entry in. But the drag queens are the problem. Sure enough, we've got a story of someone involved with a young child inappropriately, and I'm sure it must be a drag queen. And oh, I'm sorry, Brian. It is actually a Wisconsin elementary school teacher by the name of Madison Bergman. She was arrested for making out with a fifth grader, Brian.
This is a new low for us. I can't remember a fifth grader getting some off his teacher.
So Bergman's alleged abuse of the 11-year-old boy came to light when the student's mother overheard her son talking to the teacher on the phone. The victim's parents allegedly found texts between the pair, and the boy's father then stormed into the school with printouts of the conversations. The text chain included messages from Bergman allegedly discussing multiple encounters inside the classroom during lunch or after school. She is also accused of telling the child how much she enjoyed him touching her and making out. The charges.
This is a fucking fifth grader. There's no excuse for this shit.
Inside her bag, police also found a folder with the victim's name on it containing many handwritten notes talking about how much they kiss one another. In one of the letters, Bergman allegedly wrote, quote, "One of my cousins is in the fifth grade, and I can't imagine a man talking to her how we talk. I know we have a special relationship, and I do love you more than anyone in the world, but I have to be the adult here and stop." What's she been charged with? God knows she has to have been charged with something here. Let me just see here. She faces one count of first degree child sexual assault. But even better, Brian, is she was engaged to be married in just 3 months. As you can imagine, her fiance, Sam Hickman, has called off the ceremony. The longtime couple's wedding page on website, The Knot, has been taken down. That's a horrible story. But the drag queens, Brian, are the problem, as well.
They're
as
the problem.
School teachers that make out with fifth graders. That's not okay. I don't even know where to go.
I don't even know. Listen, I'm really honest with you. Like, we've joked about these stories. I've pretended that there are times where it's kind of okay if the kid's like, you know, late in high school and it's a female teacher and the kid's a senior. This is disgusting. I mean, I can honestly say a fifth grader, there should be absolutely no sexualization of fifth graders whatsoever. This is gross.
Brian, I know you enjoy a prank as much as the next person. So this story maybe might be a cautionary tale for you, where an aspiring medical student was left brain dead last month when his friends pushed him into a Louisiana lake knowing he couldn't swim, and then looked on while doing nothing to save the drowning man. Video shows the group casually peering into the water moments after they shoved Christopher Gilbert off the dock at Lake Darbonne in Farmerville on April 14th. One woman can be seen slowly entering the water before abandoning the rescue mission. It was another 10 minutes before a patron at a nearby restaurant intervened and pulled Gilbert back to land. However, unfortunately, the 26-year-old was left brain dead. Here's a photo of him here in the hospital. The rest of the organs, his organs were starting to fail by the time he arrived at a local hospital. He spent 72 hours on a ventilator and lung dialysis. Just very, very tragic story.
God, that's a terrible story. Why would you do that?
Why would you include
that story here?
This is Louisiana. So he is, surprisingly, he survived after being put on life support. He is responding cognitively, but cannot speak and still relies on life support. And his lungs are said to only be at 20% capacity. Now the family is demanding that an arrest be made in the tragic incident, with a family lawyer saying the friends displayed criminal intent by pushing him into the lake.
Yeah, I got to agree with that.
So what else do we got,
Brian?
Disagree? I agree 100%. That's why I didn't want to make it feel like I was not on board with what you're saying there.
I mean, if there's anybody out there that thinks these kids should all walk, I mean, just say yes with some exclamation points. Oh, Janelle.
Oh, Janelle. That's.
Oh, Janelle. Why would you?
Problematic, but you know, listen.
Another story. I find that as, yes.
No, go ahead. You find what?
No. I find Janelle just veering more and more into just
radical,
inappropriate responses. Yeah, just celebrating, the people's misery and unhappiness, and just celebrating it. It makes me just really upset.
All right. A Brooklyn film producer is suing Amazon for $1 million, claiming he tripped over a, quote, carelessly placed package and was launched 5 feet and shattered his arm, all in the wake of his mother's death. Chris Gambale, who was once an assistant to Bill Cosby and later a writer on Martin Scorsese's Deuces Wild, was living with his elderly mother in May 2023 when she died in his beach bath home. After a four-hour cleanup following the removal of her body and before heading to sleep, Gambale had to walk her dog. According to the filing, quote, he stepped on a misplaced Amazon package, causing him to launch approximately 5 feet and crashing down on his right arm and elbow. How fast were you have to be going when you hit that Amazon package to fly 5 feet?
As somebody who has fallen multiple times in his life, I'm going to say that you got to be, either on a staircase or, I mean, you don't just, trip over a package and fall like that.
Well, apparently because of the injuries, Gambale is unable to work as a film and television producer, the suit states, quote, and his professional career has ended. His emotional damage was tremendously enhanced due to the fact that it occurred on the date of his mother's death. Now, interestingly enough, back in 2010, Gambale threatened to sue MTV, claiming Jersey Shore ripped off a show he originally pitched. Not that that means
so
anything.
Are you saying that this guy likes to sue a lot?
I mean, I'm just saying, I don't think he's going to get any money from Amazon.
I really hope
Amazon.
Not.
Amazon loves to fight lawsuits.
Yeah. They've got deep pockets.
They do. They got a lot of legal teams. And finally, Brian, let's get one more story before we shamelessly hawk our Patreon. So a second Boeing whistleblower has died suddenly. This is Joshua Dean. He was only 45 years old. He was a former quality auditor at Spirit AeroSystems. He died Tuesday morning from a fast-growing mystery infection. He reportedly had been in good health up until about 2 weeks ago. He is someone who had raised concerns about one of the carrier's suppliers ignoring production defects. This is about 2 months after another employee who sounded the alarm about Boeing died by alleged suicide. Coincidence, Brian, or is Boeing taking a page out of the Clinton playbook?
Listen, where was Hillary? That's all I have to say. I mean, if you support Boeing killing off anybody that speaks ill of them, just say sure. It's fucking Janelle, man. Fucking Janelle. Fucking Janelle. I don't think that it's, I mean, it just tells you what a fantastical world we live in, that three Boeing whistleblowers are all dead over the past 2 months and nobody cares. Nobody's going to do anything. We all just sit there and shrug our shoulders and we're like, oh yeah, Boeing's fucked up and nothing happens.
And I did want to, let me get to this final story here, which I did like, falling under our fuck around and find out category. This is about a New York City grandfather who was run over and killed by his own car during an argument with another driver over a parking space. ISF Lanceman got out of his Subaru Forester to confront a 43-year-old woman in a Nissan Altima about the parking space at Avenue W and Ocean Avenue in Sheepshead Bay around 4:30 on Thursday. As Lanceman was exiting his car, which was left in drive, it started rolling forward, hitting him before coming to a stop when it struck the Nissan. The grandfather was left pinned between the two cars. Paramedics came to try and help him out. He had suffered severe trauma to his head and body, face, breast, neck, and chest, and was unresponsive and unconscious when first responders reported to the scene. He was rushed to NYU Langone Hospital, Brooklyn, where he was pronounced dead. Now, Brian, as a man, a former New Yorker who had to get out of the city because of situations such as this, is there any parking spot in Sheepshead Bay that is so good that you should die over?
There's absolutely none. Just accept your death at that point. Just that's the only way to go. Just accept your death.
Well, maybe accept finding a different parking spot.
No, just accept your death. That's the only way to go.
All right. Fair enough. Well, Brian, we'd be remiss if we did not, as always, talk about our Patreon. You can go to ronandbrianpodcast.com, click in the upper right-hand corner to become a patron. At just the $5 level, you get access to our After Dark audio. At $10 or more, you can join us live. We'll be doing the live After Dark in about 27 minutes. Brian's getting another beer. I'm probably going to get another vodka drink. It is going to be a sloppy After Dark. We encourage you to join us on the Patreon and then join us on
I mean, the Patreon, I mean, listen, we've been doing Patreon for several years now. It is, you know, there's a lot of people that sit there and say, listen, I like the show. It's, you know, you guys do a lot of politics, you do a lot of current events, you know, there's a, you know, you guys have a spin, you know, but you know, there's so much more going on in the world. And the truth be told is, you know, we're no different than, you know, your major corporations where, you know, we want this show to be reached by the masses. And therefore, you know, the content that we have, you know, it is limited. It's got to be, you know, for us to have this show on so many different social media platforms such as YouTube and Facebook and Twitch and X, Twitter, Instagram. Am I leaving anything out off the top? The idea is just the fact that we have to come up with stories that each of them are going to be okay with. They're not all going to be okay with the type of things that Ron and I want to talk about. That kind of stuff is behind the paywall. You know, those are for as little as $5 a month. You get the audio of, you know, stories that are not quite appropriate, you know, for children's ages, fifth grade, except for that one kid. Apparently he was ready for it. But it's just stuff that, you know, like we want to talk about that, you know, Facebook doesn't want us to talk about. And it also, and I know Ron, you are reticent to, discuss this. It's also a way for people to financially support the show. You know, we don't do advertisements. We don't sit there and take, you know, advertisers. I was a big fan of MeUndies. Coming on board, Ron, you ruled them saying absolutely not. You were a fan of your Sean John underwear. You sat there and said, I will not do a read for me undies. I tried to get, several other companies.
This time's got to stop.
But if you're interested in supporting the show, the After Dark is a great way to do it. Sign up for our Patreon. As little as $5 a month gets you the audio. $10 a month gets you some great swag, as well as a link to be able to watch us do the After Dark live. There are higher tier levels. We get you even better swag and other stuff. It's really just about supporting the show and helping us continue to be able to do this for the masses.
And don't forget, you can also support us on Cameo. If you go to cameo.com/RonBryanPodcast8939, or just go to cameo.com and search Ron and Brian Podcast. If you need to give somebody a pep talk, if you need to wish somebody happy birthday, happy anniversary, sorry your wedding was canceled due to your fiance making out with a fifth grader, any type of message you want to deliver to a friend, we can do that. And also, don't forget, we've got our feedback hotline at 267-627-1062. If you ever want to leave us a voicemail, we'd love hearing from the folks out there. Brian, I think episode 302 has been fantastic. I hope the people out there have enjoyed listening to it.
We've enjoyed it.
We have enjoyed doing it. In the meantime, we're going to wrap things up. We're going to get ready for After Dark. Patreon folks, we're going to catch you in a few minutes. Everybody else, we will catch you next Sunday night.
Thank you for joining us on the Ron and Brian Podcast. We're live each week on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch. You can find prior episodes, links to our social media, and everything else Ron and Brian at RonandBrianPodcast.com. See you again next week.